and at Mendocino Book Company in Ukiah, we turn to Tony Wheeler. Hi, Tony. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Good, thank you.
Are you doing a brisk summer business in Ukiah?
Yeah, actually we are, yes. Yeah, people are coming in, and of course we're now facing down the back-to-school routine, so that's kind of shifted gears a little, but yeah, it's still summer here.
You're about 2 weeks out in Mendocino County for school?
Yeah, August 21st, I think, is the start date for most schools.
On eclipse day, I notice. A lot of schools start
right
on the day of the eclipse.
That's either good or bad. I'm not sure.
Not sure either. So what kinds of, for your own personal taste, what kinds of things do you like to read in the summer, if they are different from what you read the rest of the year?
It's not really different the rest of the year. I think I'm pretty busy during the summer. I don't really have downtime, so my reading when I'm busy tends to be shorter things, and this summer I've been reading a lot of poetry, as a matter of fact, so that's kind of an unusual thing for me. I'm more fiction and lighter things, but that seems to fit the bill. It's shorter pieces and I can put it down and pick it up.
Any particular poetry you're drawn to more than any other?
I've been reading the poetry of Alejandro Murguia, who is the poet laureate of San Francisco a few years ago. And he writes in English and Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, but it's fun to read anyway. So those are great.
And then as far as novels go, what tops your list for this summer?
Well, this summer, the top of my list is, I think, the top of almost everybody's list. It's the Neal Stephenson and Nicole Gallard, Rise and Fall of Dodo. This was bestseller, a New York Times bestseller, and it's been on the NCIBA bestseller list since day one. A couple of us here have read it, and we're just raving about it. I started recommending it to people almost before I had read it, just on the basis of the first couple chapters, and it's really fun. It is a great beach read because it's a substantial book. It'll take you a good vacations week to get through it. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds somewhat complicated as I read about it here. So DODO is actually an acronym.
It's an acronym, yeah. The Department of, oh my gosh, I can't even remember now.
Is it Diachronic?
Something, Department of Diachronic Operations, I think is probably as close as I'm going to get, because they just refer to it by the acronym throughout the entire book, so one forgets. And diachronic being time travel.
Okay, so what's the mission of the folks at the Department of Diachronic Operations, or DODO?
The mission is to go back in time and prevent magic from ceasing to exist. So there was the world in which magic used to be quite commonplace, but it disappeared completely in about the middle of the 19th century, and this was due to the advent of various technologies. So the protagonists are tasked with going back in time to before that date to prevent it from happening. And, of course, here we are without magic, so time travel is a little challenging without magic. And so that's where the sort of science fiction, Neal Stephenson's crypto sci-fi kind of comes into the picture. It's a really, really fun mashup of that sort of science fiction-y stuff that he does and Nicole Gallard's historical fiction, which is all very well-researched and realistic and brings a lot of, the past into reality. So it's a good combination. I wasn't sure what to expect from the combination, but it really worked well.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm just curious about the literary look at magic in general, because you would have thought that it would have kind of peaked with Harry Potter and then subsided after that, but there's this book. I noticed BBC America had a special series last summer about bringing magic back to the world.
Yes. I think it's a theme that's been obviously around for a long time. Another author who this book made me think of was Deborah Harkness with her Discovery of Witches series. And she uses time travel, but it's vampires, witches, time travel, magic, Shakespeare, a lot of similar thematic elements, although her books are quite different. It's sort of an ongoing popular theme, going back to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and The Hobbit, and all kinds of classics.
I have to admit that I read the Harry Potter books largely in the summer myself. Is it just something about what the expectations societally are about what you read in the summer?
Gosh, I really don't know. I think people do, if they're traveling on vacation, they don't want anything too intellectually heavy. But, some of us like to read something that's got a little bit of me to it anyway. So,
So are The Rise and Fall of Dodo tops your list? What would be number two on your hit parade?
So the next book that I picked to talk about is a book that came out a couple of years ago. It's not brand new, but it's one that has stuck with me, so I keep recommending it. It's called Anna of California, and the author's name is Andy Terran. It came out in 2015 as a paperback general fiction. I recommend it to people a lot as just a good read. It's a shorter novel. I feel that it does work really well also as a young adult, high school, teen, young 20s audience. And I recommend it a lot to parents who are looking for something for their teenager to read if they don't like witches and vampires and magic and things like that. and there are some. So it's marketed as a modern retelling of Anne of Green Gables, and it does have a lot of similar themes. It's a young woman who's from urban Los Angeles. She has some family traumas. She's in the foster system. She's considered uncooperative and is at risk of being put in a group foster home, which she really doesn't want. And so she's given this one last chance to shape up, and she's sent from urban L.A. all the way up here to Northern California to a coastal farming community. And as far as that goes, it's similar to Anne of Green Gables. She's this young girl who's in a totally alien environment and has to deal with that. It really does deal with, you know, real high school young adult themes, and this girl is figuring out how to be herself in this world when, you know, there's a lot against her, you know, a lot of suspicion and a lot of preconceived ideas about what a girl from L.A. is like. She's a very strong female character. The other characters are also very well written. The setting is great because, you know, for us here, it was like reading about home.
Uh-huh.
The town was described. It sounded a lot like Ukiah or any of these other smaller towns up here in Northern California. So I feel really strongly about that book. I recommend it a lot to teachers of high school kids, you know, parents, and the younger readers themselves. So.
And that's Anna of California by
Anna,
Andy.
A-N-A of California. Mm-hmm. And Andy Terran is the author.
Okay, it falls into number two on the list behind The Rise and Fall of Dodo by Neal Stephenson and Nicole Galland. Sycamore by Bryn Chancellor, I notice, is on your list.
Yes, yes. Now, this is one that I haven't read myself. I did canvass my coworkers and get a couple of suggestions. Sycamore was read by my coworker named Kendall, and she describes it as a story about how a tragedy affects a small town and how its resolution sets it free. And review, you know, perusal of the book, it looks like a very suspenseful story. You could consider it a mystery. It could get categorized as a mystery. But I think it's more of a character story, how the town itself grows up around this tragedy from the past and how the people's relationships have been affected by it. New people come to town and that brings things out into the open that haven't been faced for a couple decades, and you know, a lot of things get resolved that hadn't been resolved before. So I think it sounds to me like a really good story, a really good character-driven story, and I am looking forward to reading it.
No, I haven't gotten to it yet, I take it.
I have not, no.
And
just came out in May of this year, so it's still on our new book shelves.
You know, I've often wondered, because we do so many discussions with authors here, and I look at the publication date, and the book is in our hands usually 2 months in advance sometimes.
Yeah.
And I wonder how early before the publication date they arrive at a bookstore.
It varies a lot. We get things, I mean, we have things now on our advanced reading shelf that are into, you know, November, December of this year. We're probably going to pretty soon start seeing things that are due for publication the early part of next year. Sometimes it's only a month. Sometimes we don't get it at all, so, you know, it just depends. The Rise and Fall of Dodo, we actually got two advanced copies, which is how come so many of us were able to read it before the publication date. We just kept passing it around.
And how do you make the decisions on how many copies of a book to stock?
Good question. I think it has to do with publisher recommendations, what people start asking for when our customers know that a book of that they want to read is coming out. They'll come in and start asking for it. You know, we go to the publisher events and we see the authors and we see the books maybe 6 months ahead of time, and we can kind of get an idea then of what we want to bring in larger quantities.
I wonder at those events, though, do you have like particular customers in mind, thinking, oh, I know some people are going to love this one?
Ourselves. We want this book.
Right. Good place to start.
All right.
Let's move on to your list. Another novel here, Kitchens of the Great Midwest.
Yeah, Kitchens of the Great Midwest. This is one that we discovered at an NCIBA event in, it must have been 2014 down in San Francisco. The author was there, J. Ryan Stradel, and he was presenting this novel. We just had a great conversation, and he agreed to come up to Ukiah. He did a book event for us, which was really fun. The book is one that it's one of the few books that I've read more than once, and I'm talking three or four times since it first came out in 2015, I think. It's a great story. I have to tell people when I recommend it, it's about food, but it's not a cookbook.
No, I noticed that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's a novel.
Yeah. It's a novel. It is the story of Eva Thorvald, who is a woman who goes through her life totally focused on food and the food experience, but she's very much a Midwestern woman. You know, we're used to the foodie culture of the coasts, East Coast, the West Coast. This is very different. This is the Midwestern culture in which food is so important. Eva's story is told not in her own voice. It's told from the point of view of the various significant people whose paths crossed with her throughout her life. So starting with her parents at her birth, her first lover, her colleagues as she goes through her professional career. And each chapter in the book is a different phase of her life. So you'll end one chapter and then it might jump a few years and she's doing something entirely different, but always to do with exploring food and what food means to people. There are a couple recipes in the book, which is kind of fun. The characters are great. The settings are really, really evocative of Midwestern towns and Midwestern countryside and all of that.
It's great to have you talking about this. We just finished talking to Laura Shapiro about a book about six remarkable women and their foods, and it's called What She Ate.
Yeah, I have seen that one. I have not read it yet, so that's a good reminder that I want to look at that one.
Could be a good companion for Kitchens of the Great Midwest.
Yes, yeah.
And I noticed one more on your list. It's a bit of a YA or middle grade novel, Train I Ride by Paul Mosier.
Yes, exactly. I read this when it came out I think I read it in advance copy, so it was the end of 2016. Came out in January this year. It is a young adult, probably older middle school to, you know, high school age audience target. The character is 12 years old, a girl. She's traveling from Los Angeles to Chicago by train on her own. She is in a similar situation in some ways to Anna of California. There's been some family trauma. She doesn't have a caretaker in L.A. anymore. She has to travel to Chicago to relatives who she doesn't know. So she's on this train by herself. One interesting thing is that in the course of her journey, she doesn't ever use her real name. She calls herself Ryder, and she spells it R-Y-D-R.
Mm-hmm.
And this, to me, really opened it up to any reader. The character's a girl, but it isn't a gender-specific name. So I think the character is really accessible to any reader. The author's point of view seems to be that younger readers actually are thoughtful and like interesting stories about real people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't all have to be goofy and silly. It's a very very thoughtfully written book.
She's leaving because her grandmother can't care for her
anymore. Take care of her anymore. Her mother, she doesn't know who her father is. Her mother has died. She has an uncle or a great uncle in Chicago who she's never met. And so she gets on this train, and she's, people are seeing her there. They're interested in her. They're intrigued by her. She has various encounters with the other passengers and gradually opens up to them and to herself about her feelings about her family situation and what's coming up for her.
So it looks like a really interesting, these all look like great choices. So that's Train I Ride by Paul Mosier, Kitchens of the Great Midwest by J. Ryan Stradel, Sycamore by Bryn Chancellor, Anna of California by Andy Terran, and The Rise and Fall of Dodo by Neal Stephenson and Nicole Galland. Thank you so much, Tony Wheeler, for joining us at the Mendocino Book Company in Ukiah.
Thank you very much. It was fun.